gotta do this.
Okay. Well, let's do that. Let's do it again if you want. I don't mind. We got a button for that, though. Wait, come on, the old
let's see applause. If I can remember it.
Lower right.
Yeah.
Nice. Actually, it's lower left. Oh, wow. You even got the mixer on that. Nice job. Way to fade in.
Two fingers.
Nice job. Way to fade in.
Thank you.
Yeah. Give yourself a round of applause for that.
You know I will. I'm a little slow, though.
That's okay. He had to find the right corner on the button. That's neat. Nice job. Nice job. That's what those years of video games have done.
That's right. That's true. And you know what, Mark? I'm proud of it.
Well, good to hear. Good to hear. Yes, by all means.
That's a segue for you.
That is a great segue. Yeah. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
Yeah. When we think of being proud, when we think of pride, is that a positive thing or is pride a negative thing?
Yes.
Oh, nice. There's some polarization there for you. That's so, right. So talk with me about that. Hmm. When you think of pride,
you know,
being proud,
right. There's two things that come to mind probably for most listeners, me for sure.
Okay.
The I'm proud of you, the like pride in your nation, like kind of that.
Sure.
That like
proud to be an American,
like hat off pride, you
sure.
know, or like beaming pride, or you know, like, oh, that's my boy,
yeah,
kind of pride,
yeah.
There's
or that's your girl,
yeah.
My child,
that's my child. you had to pick one in that, so I just picked
like you say, I'm hearing where you're coming from,
yeah. And then the flip side, right, which is kind of like prideful and
yeah,
being, you know, having, you know, the negative pride of like not being willing to change, uh-huh. or not being willing to admit when you're wrong, or thinking you're better than you are, and so kind of more in that arrogance side of things.
Sure.
There's stubborn side of things. There's
but even that, even in the more positive dynamic, when mm-hmm. I think about pride, and probably I'm gonna probably be erring on the side of, I'm not sure pride's that great of thing as we establish it to be.
Okay. And this is what we're about.
Yeah, exactly. And I think about it in that context of even my child, okay, mm-hmm. my nation.
Yeah.
You know, I think about it in that context of that use of the word my. Mm-hmm. And so often my tendency is to think, okay, we did this. I did mm-hmm. this. And I kind of make it about,
yeah,
God had nothing to do with it.
Hmm.
A bunch of guys, you know, got together and they signed the Declaration of Independence and they fought for our freedom. And we have this nation
mm-hmm.
apart from God
hmm.
type. That's
the core is what you're saying. That's not what we would say.
No, we wouldn't necessarily yeah, yeah. say that. But I think yeah. in that context of my,
yeah.
that's where it kind of it has a bitter flavor.
Babel.
A bitter flavor for me
yeah.
when I hear that, and you know, there's no clarification, I guess,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, where we're able to recognize, okay, all of these factors wouldn't have come together or wouldn't have even been allowed mm-hmm. if there hadn't been this, you know, from my perspective, this God that orchestrated mm-hmm. these, you know, the timing of storms mm-hmm. and rain events and, you know, just all those things, mm-hmm. those, I would say those miracles, mm. you know, that basically formed our nation.
Mm. Yes. mm-hmm. Agreed.
But that's not to say that I'm not willing to hear somebody when they speak about what their child has done.
Yeah.
You know, that what, you know, and it's, so yeah.
I think there is an element of pride that I would argue isn't bad. And I think that's maybe kind of where we're going back and forth a little bit. But when you think of being part of a representative, you know, like being represented by a group. So I think of the United States in the Olympics, right?
Okay, sure.
And you see them take the gold and you have this pride. Mm, and it's like they represent me and therefore I feel that pride, right?
Sure.
And same with your child. It's like they represent me and I'm proud. Mm. And, you know, like you said, it certainly it can become self-pride in the sense that you remove God and say, but I also think it's okay to do that. I think
you think
that's where that's the conversation. So that's my thought. The other thing I think about Paul saying, I boast in my afflictions, and he talks about different things. He said, I could boast about my credentials.
Sure.
Because I've done this. He basically lists his credentials.
Sure.
He said, but instead I boast about the fact that I'm in prison for you, or, you know, mm-hmm. I'm in my afflictions. And he's basically saying, I'm proud of that part of me.
Sure.
You know? So again, I think there's an example of, you know, arguably the greatest apostle.
Sure.
Come in. The door just opened on its own. A little bit creepy.
Yeah.
Was it Paul's, the ghost of Paul? He's here to claim his pride.
It's Memorial Day.
It is the week of Memorial Day. Yes. So.
Yes.
Maybe we're on a veteran's burial ground and we don't know it.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, so that's kind of the ping to your pong.
Okay.
Your turn.
Yeah. No, and I think this is probably a little more of where I come back to. I see in that continuum, when we think about pride, I think about it in the context of humility. You follow me? And I think, you know, humility is probably more the side that I would lean towards,
mm-hmm.
you know, being able to recognize. And I would say false humility is just as wrong as arrogant pride.
Yeah. Which I would love to branch over there in a second.
Okay.
I don't want to interrupt you.
But I agree. But that's probably... in that continuum, that's probably more so the side that I have to be mindful of.
Gotcha.
I was having a conversation. Oh yeah. I was at a, it was interesting because when you meet people out in public, I think you get a little better sense of who you are in the public eye.
Hmm.
You follow
Since
me?
You're a public figure now?
No.
Thanks
not
to this podcast.
No, I'm a public figure just because I interact with people, you know, and it was interesting.
Just Mark, this is a perfect example of Mark's humility. It's deflection.
Well, and that is a part, you know, because I happened to run into a person like at a estate sale is what it was, a neighbor.
Okay.
You know, and something about, you know, she was introducing me, a neighbor was introducing me to another person and, you know, and said, you know, he's a nice guy type stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
probably a lot more.
And
nice
I fell into my deflection and she called it out.
Yeah.
You know, she said, now don't be so, you know, humble.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, you know, and I think we've talked about that, you know, in different podcasts, you know, that aspect of being able to take a compliment and how we can. So that's kind of if we're going to align on that continuum.
Yeah.
That's going to be my tendency.
And you sneak towards. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sneak, cheat.
Yeah.
However I'm going to be more probably aligned on that side and, you know, and someone who might, and like you said about Paul, you know, and even like I'll, you know, use Jimmy Evans, you know, he has one session where he's talking about raising great kids and he'll come right out and say, you know, when we, you know, we're raising our kids, we said we want our children to be just like us. You know, and I can appreciate that in that sense that I'm setting a standard like Paul, that if you follow this, this is how you need to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get behind that in some ways.
Yeah.
And yet I'm always going to say, there's a better option.
I want you to slingshot past me.
Yeah.
Right. Like take what I've built or where I'm at and go past that. Like crawl on my back.
Or, you know, here's Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's faultless.
Yeah.
You know, because as a parent, I'm going to recognize.
Let's both go towards that.
Yes.
Yeah. Together.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's good.
And I'm going to do what I can to be as good of model of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And yet I'm going to recognize, and I know this is going to, you know, strike a chord for you. I'm going to recognize I don't have sufficient strength to do it all. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and here's where it gets a little fuzzy for me, you know, or difficult, because I think pride in that middle ground, you know, has the ability to allow subtle lies to slip through. Oh, I think of Adam and Eve, you know, and that aspect, I think pride can make us a little more susceptible. Well, and I think in some ways, even in our culture, you know, we can think about Adam and Eve and say, well, what did they know? Come on now. You know, they probably weren't that smart. We're much smarter now. Mm-hmm. You know, we've evolved. We're smarter. We have technology. So we're less susceptible to those things that Adam and Eve were. And yet I believe in a lot of cases, it's a very, you know, Satan still works in the same ways with those subtle lies that did God really say that? And I think the more go ahead.
Not only builds or not only discredits some truth, but also just to tie back into, I think maybe what you were saying. Will basically flatter us, like and build up our own version of ourselves to where now we can justify behavior that doesn't align with the authority because, but I'm ultimately something bigger, you know, or
And I think, and I'll be honest, I think that's the part that makes me uncomfortable when I feel flattered.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it to puff me up in such a way that I become, I'm all that. When in reality, I know I'm not all that.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because, first of all, I appreciate how you are and I appreciate who you are. He's like, stop. Here he goes again. That being said, as a balance, I definitely think like you could take compliments better.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
In my mind's eye, hear responses from you that would make me happier, right? Like in those responses to be able to hear you go, well, you know, well, thank you. It was a good long road, or I'm glad we got there, whatever, but thank you. That's nice of you to say. You know,
accepting a compliment as a gift is something that I try to work on.
Yeah,
because I don't want to minimize the gratitude other people may feel.
Yeah. And also I think it is important. Okay. So I'm coming from a background where I struggled with, self-esteem and self-confidence growing up.
Sure.
So I've had to learn to have both of those things.
Sure.
So self-esteem being, appreciation for self, essentially.
I hear you.
Appreciation for what I have to offer and being comfortable with that and
talents and abilities
and then self-confidence being a recognition that based on the things that I have and that I'm good at, I can therefore proceed in that right and feel confident in that and for me those are I came from a deficit. I had to work into those things and so kind of that the way that you're basically saying that you are and, and that makes you tend to slide towards that. I think maybe correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I'd
be
interested. Like kind of comes from the other perspective maybe of like pride in home, pride in family and just like a really strong core of pride where you grew up and how you felt about things. I would love to know your thoughts and maybe you came from the exact same
Well, you mean how I grew up? That's what you're asking me?
Kind of how you grew up and just kind of how you felt internally about yourself growing up as a result of the environment.
Sure. And I think, you know, it's funny because I was honestly thinking about this, you know, just a moment ago in that process of, you know, my family system. And I recognize, you know, and I probably shared a little more in my testimony type stuff, you know, that dynamic that I grew up where I had an older brother who was definitely desired to be seen, you know,
not in an arrogant immediately all the Tetris pieces kind of fell in line for me. I'm following you, but
from that dynamic, you know, he was just louder, you know, more energetic, more boisterous, you know, you just knew he was in the room type thing, you know, and that's great. I love my brother, that kind of thing. But I think that affected my, you know, it's like people say, well, we grew up in the same household. No, we didn't really grow up in the same household, because the minute I came along, the dynamic changed. So yes, while we existed in the same building, that household changed just when another child is born.
Yeah.
Because certain characteristics aren't available. You follow me? If my older brother had those tendencies.
Yeah. He had him on lock.
There's no need for me to go there.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that was where I adopted a more, you know, subtle way of, you know, not necessarily even trying to be noticed, you know, a more subversive or covert way of staying below the radar.
Yeah.
That kind
of
thing. That's
my middle daughter, Jewel, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like almost like, get that spotlight off of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah. And it's so, yeah, it's like.
My oldest daughter is, I'll take that. Thank you.
Exactly. And that's how, yes, you know.
That's how you see it. And I see it through my daughter. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's where that comes from for me, because I just don't have a desire. Now, if somebody asks me to do something, you know, based on my role or abilities, or, you know, I'm willing to say, yeah, if you want me to speak to that, I'm happy to speak to that. But at the same time, there's other people I'm sure that would do just as good a job, if not better. That kind of thing will be what's in my mind.
So going back to that alley of false humility. Okay.
Sure.
That side jaunt.
Yep.
What's interesting about that is again, on that end of the spectrum, it can still become about me.
Oh, sure. It's a false form of pride, in
right.
my opinion.
Yeah. No, it's a form of pride.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's a false
true.
Humility, which is a form of pride. Yeah.
I'd agree.
Sorry.
No, it's a great clarification. Yeah. It's basically saying, I want you to tell me how good I am.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh,
because
shucks,
you didn't say that loud enough.
Right. But even in the attempt to shut it down can be an attempt to demonstrate the type of person, the type of virtues you have.
Sure.
Right. It can signal that, like, does that make sense? Because we consider someone who, you know, oh no, that's not me or whatever. If that's how you are, you consider that to be better. Right.
Sure.
And therefore you're signaling this is better. And again, I'm not saying that's what Mark does. I'm saying, like, that's where the false humility can come in, because now you feel humble, you feel virtuous.
Sure.
But you're still, there's that term, right? Virtue signaling.
Oh, sure.
Like, I'm virtue signaling. I'm saying, like, I'm a man, you know, I have these virtues that can't allow your silly little flatters in my virtuous heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
to
take it all the way to that extreme or whatever. And so I think that's part of it too, is like, how do we handle those conversations in a way that still doesn't make it about me?
Yeah.
Right. And that's the hard part. Like, I really think that's hard. I think, you know, I've talked to my daughter, you know, my kids a few times about how to handle compliments. And, you know, one of the things we say, and what you kind of alluded to earlier, is just to say, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, that's a nice thing. And if you say it in a genuine way, then,
yeah,
you know, it's
tone
it's,
makes
you
know, a lot of difference there.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, thanks.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. Like, of course, you know, like, anyway, I think, because again, if you say, oh no, I don't want to hear that or whatever. Mm-hmm. Again, I do think it's very much virtue signaling. Even when you don't mean it to be, mm-hmm. it can have that flavor to it. Also, the context of the hearer matters, right? So some people will hear that and go, oh, he's such a sweet, humble person, or she's such so sweet and humble, oh, you know. And other people may not. They'd be like, she can't take a compliment, or remind me never to compliment her again. I don't know.
So in that context for you of pride, what would be a comment? What would be a signal that would kind of raise a red flag for you with a person, or even something that you might say if you were to stop and think about it? What would be, because I'm here again, I'm just putting the conversation out there in that continuum. What would be a something that you would say, okay, that might be a little too far? What signals would you be looking for? Flags, would you?
Whew, good question. I pretty much don't look at anything on that end of the spectrum badly.
Okay.
I accept the virtue signal. I think I'm like you, Mark, in the sense that to me that end is better. And like that's kind of what
when you say that end.
That end of the continuum of like humility and deflection. Like that's I'm not as far you know, on that end as you. And I would love, you know, to hear your perspective on me or whatever. But for me, the further towards that continuum, the better of a person you are. It's kind of my natural bent. Mm. And I think you and I are similar in that way of like just be humble or deflect, you know, that kind of thing. And so when I talk about the virtue signal, all those things, that's like kind of a anti-me. Like, does that make sense?
Sure.
So that being said, there's not signals where someone says that where I'm like, you. Generally, I'm like, oh, that's nice, you know, whatever.
Okay.
I don't know that there's very many people that would see that as gross, but I think there's probably a few, you know, out there, right?
Sure.
I do think that has a better flavor than
the humility end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more palatable.
Okay. Well, then start there, if I may.
Start where? Explain.
What would be an indicator that you've gone too far in that direction then?
Well, for me personally, it's about, like you already teased about, like, tell me more. No, don't. Stop.
I hear you.
But do. You know,
I got you. Yeah,
that idea of like putting yourself down so much that it's like they have to like, you're like forcing them to recover from your overstatement.
Sure.
And like you're kind of clarifying, seeing how serious they really are about their compliment and basically fishing, right?
Like, yeah.
I think there's a lot of forms of humility that ends up just being fishing. And again, very much false humility, because it's like, oh, I'm just humble, but you know, it's false in the sense that I really want to know more. And I really want to see how serious you are about that compliment. I want to hear more about it. I want you to, you know,
yeah,
or even compliment my virtues on top of the thing you're complimenting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that to me is where it can be gross. And I definitely, you know, I've definitely seen that in my life, right? Like where that's happened. It's
no
like,
doubt.
It's very gross. I think I've done it, right? I think I've done it.
Sure.
Certainly.
And that's why I'm saying that part, you know, what would be a red flag even in your life, let alone somebody else?
Definitely that,
where
it's like, I'm waiting for a response to my response.
Sure.
I think that would be the signal, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's, again, personally, where I've really had, because, you know, I've talked about this a lot in the past, approval addiction, people pleasing, that kind of thing. So I'm always looking for compliments. I mean, I never want them to stop. I would like the stream to just continue, you know, just intravenously
a
feed
river,
it to
if
me.
You will.
Yes, exactly.
The stream is nice, but a river's even
a river
better.
Is yeah. So comments on our post, please. And we'd love to hear from you. I mean, and that's no joke. I mean, that's like I call it addiction, but it's like deep seated, like quote unquote need that I have, that I have to continually work on culling and just being like healthy about it. Right.
Yeah.
And I think it has a lot to do with upbringing and just certain, you know, it's kind of like, the idea of, you know, a stray pet that didn't get much food. And so it's like every time you feed them, they just scarf it down as fast as possible because they don't know when the next meal's coming. And they're that way the rest of their life, even though they're in a healthy home now. I think in some ways it's similar to that to me.
Sure.
Okay.
That's a good analogy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that. No, Mark, it was terrible analogy. Terrible.
No, but I could see that. Yeah.
I'm trying out all the sizes of this response.
You're using your lever to shift yourself on that continuum.
Yes, exactly.
So that being said, how would you know you've gone too far in the pride area?
Mm.
As you shift, as you have that ability.
Yeah. Let me think about it. That's good.
That's good thinking.
I think my eyes were closed.
I could see it.
You could see my eyes rolling back.
He was squinting.
I think, I don't know how much it surfaces out of me. I mean, I'm kind of the mind that, you know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. I think the way you think leaks out of you no matter what. But as far as in the moment, that actual, I don't know that I signal it super clearly to someone listening unless you really knew me. But I think for me, it's the response in my heart is, yeah. Or like, I know. Or like, you don't know the half of it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, almost like, I don't know, like almost bitter that you're saying it because it's like, you don't even know. I don't know. Does
because
that make
sense?
Because
you already know?
Because I know, and I know way more than you know about how much effort was put into it or how hard I've worked towards that or whatever. And it's almost like your compliment is petty.
Sure.
Make sense?
If you only knew.
Yeah, exactly.
How much I'd put into that, you would say more.
Yeah.
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 Like your compliment almost feels...
backhanded. It's almost like an assault, front.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Like offensive. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. I would say that's kind of my extreme on the other end.
I gotcha.
And again, I don't think I would try and indicate that to you as someone complimenting. I think I would just be like, thank you, you know. But in my heart, I would be like, yeah. So that would be the other end.
Yeah.
So I've experienced the gamut, I would say, with those things.
And I appreciate your analogy, that use of the difference between the mind and the heart. I think, you know, those morsels kind of go to the heart, to the inner part of a man, you know, when we start thinking about, you know, that arrogance and that pride, it can kind of, you know, easily kind of go to who we are. Yeah. And like you're saying, it actually reveals our heart at times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, and I'm thinking about it in the context of people we interact with too. And I think for me, and I use the word right there, pronouns are a huge, as far as I'm concerned, not in the context of definition so much, but in the process of I and me, when I'm listening to other people versus we and they in that context of inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. I happened to be, Lizzie got me a book.
If you don't know who Lizzie is, listen to the Brains episodes.
Sure. Mark Batterson, he's one of my go-to people as far as...
what else is he written? That name is very familiar.
He's In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day, Chasing the Wild Goose.
Nope.
Those are his early works. He's just written one more so recently. Please, three words that change, you know, the world, please, sorry, and thanks, you know, that kind of thing. And it was interesting because the first one, I think was please. But he talked about over in England, the prime minister's, I believe it was the prime minister's mother. And she had back-to-back meetings with these heads of state, if you will, these influential leaders. And the one individual from the first night, her comment was that when I left the room, I thought he was the most clever man in all of Europe.
The prime minister?
This was the
like who's saying what about who?
The mother, the prime minister's mother okay. was stating that about the individual she had sat with okay. that night.
Gotcha.
So the first night she sat with an individual, and when that interaction was over, she left the room thinking that that man was the cleverest man in Europe.
I'm caught up now. Thank you.
Okay. No problem. So the next evening, the same woman, the prime minister's mother, yeah. had sat down and had an interaction with another individual. And she said, when I left the room that evening, I thought I was the cleverest person in Europe. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And she, you know, he went on to state how that individual, and it's kind of interesting that you think about it. It's interesting when I think about it in the context of pride. He went on to say, there's two people that, mm-hmm. you know, when they come into a room, there's two reactions. Yeah. One person comes in and says, I'm here.
Yeah.
That's, and you know, then that would be kind of yeah. where I described how my brother was more so. Yeah. And
my oldest daughter.
Yeah. That kind of thing. And the other person says, there you are.
Yes.
You know, and that I think was the yeah. difference in that prime minister, that part of, am I self-focused and here I yeah. am? Or am I others focused and there you are?
That's so cool. Yeah, that's good.
And I think, you know, I think that's where I come back to, you know, the pronouns make such a difference when I'm listening to people. And in that process, when I'm hearing someone use I and me, you know, even in the context of their, you know, being like there with a spouse, you know, yeah. being there with us, you know, interacting with their yeah. spouse, and, you know, and they're still using that sense of I and yeah. me versus we and us, you know, that's just one of my little yeah. flags
yeah.
that I'll tend to.
And now every listener's because.
Yeah. So feel free to call me out, you know, yeah. but yeah, in that context, I think that is a, you know, an important dynamic. That's and there you go. I mean, that being said, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with your oldest daughter versus your youngest daughter. That
no. Kind of thing. Yeah.
I don't want it to go that far.
Or your brother.
Yeah, or my brother. Yeah. Thing, yeah.
No.
It's not a right and wrong.
Well, that gets back to the stick thing. So again, if you know what the stick is, we have sure. a previous episode. No, but the sick thing of like there's some benefits to my oldest daughter and your brother
sure.
that clearly have played out in their life. I would definitely say my daughter. I don't sure. know your brother. And then obviously some weaknesses attached to those mm-hmm. things. So it's just a stick thing. But and same with you and Jewel. And kind yeah. of your deference or deflection. Very much a stick thing. Like I yep. see values in both my daughters the way they are. And,
sure.
And proud of them both.
There you go. Yes. God has blessed them with different talents.
Yes.
Yes.
I also think, too, like context matters so much, right? So you, even in those conversations you're having with someone where, like you said, they're with their spouse, they're saying I am me or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's one context. It might depend on whether you're at their place of work.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or you're in the home and mm-hmm. talking about raising kids, right? Mm-hmm. Those contexts really do matter. So
sure.
in the case of the work, both of them are there, but you know, it's primarily a conversation about work. I would say it would make sense for those conversations to veer towards I and me based on whatever mm-hmm. the topic is, right? And then in the home, it would, you know, you would hope to hear more we
sure.
and she and that kind of thing.
Well, and I think there's something to be said in a work environment where I may not want to speak for someone else.
Yeah,
like
true.
Even in the context of this podcast, you know, yeah. sometimes we might use we if yeah. I know there's an agreement, you yeah. know, or we've had this conversation,
yep.
you know, so then I feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about a polarized dynamic and I'm not sure you're in agreement yeah. with me or you're not where I am, I'm going to tend to use this is my opinion. This is how yeah. I see it.
So again, that all those contexts matter. Yes. So I just was adding some caveats to if you hear someone saying I in a where there's a couple a spouse next to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that I love what you're saying about that flag because I think my don't know. I've definitely been on a journey my whole life, and there's certainly been times where I really wanted the conversations to be about I and me, you know. Mm. And but here's it's interesting. I don't know where I fit. Like, you know how that you have sibling kind of hierarchy, oh, or whatever, sure. And kind of the different sure. paradigms of each sibling.
Birth order.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Those paradigms. Me and my sister are very close in age, 13 mm. months. She's definitely older, but I've definitely been told many times I exhibit some older sibling characteristics. Sure. I've definitely been told I exhibit some younger kids' characteristics, younger child ones. And so it's very interesting. And in terms of like the approval thing mm-hmm. and kind of that whole, like, I don't fall into the Jewel or the Mia. So either of my daughters, I don't fall sure. into the, I want all the attention and here I am, I'm going to make sure I get it kind mm-hmm. of spectrum. Mm-hmm. I also don't fall in the Jewel perspective of like, please don't put that spotlight on me. I'm like right in between them.
Mm.
I'm like my oldest in that I want the spotlight.
I got
but
you.
I don't want to have to tell you I want it.
Sure.
So
I want you to give it to me.
Yes. So what that translates to in my life is just work.
Mm.
Just trying to show my worth. And a good friend of mine called it the performance treadmill.
Sure. Earn the spotlight.
Exactly. Mm. I want the spotlight to have to go on to me without me saying, here I am, and like doing all this stuff. The kind of grab the spotlight or grab the microphone. Like, I don't want to do that. I want someone to say, I want you to have the microphone, or let me put that spotlight on him. You know, that's always been my kind of my mode of operation, my MO, you know?
Sure.
Which just means a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I look at my daughter and it's so effortless for her to get attention because she'll just ask for it. You know what I mean? She'll just claim it, or, you know, she'll just show up and start singing when no one's singing, you know, like, and it's just like, why are you doing this? Well, because she wants attention, you know, or whatever. And I'm just like, people like your brother and my oldest daughter make me very uncomfortable.
Huh.
And I realized a long time ago, like teenage years, it was jealousy that's why I'm uncomfortable, because they can effortlessly get the attention I want to work, that I have to get through a lot of work. Mm. And I feel like I deserve the attention.
Wow.
They just stole it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's
how you see it.
That's how I. And
so that would lead to a lot of jealousy at times.
Oh yeah. Jealousy, resentment.
Yeah.
A lot of those things, which is why, you know, I talk about resentment a lot.
Celebrate
Recovery. That's something that I've always dealt with in my life. I think that's one part of that, right? Is that approval stuff. And back to resentment and pride, that can also come from someone criticizing me.
Sure.
Right? It's like, that resentment would come from that, because approval is so important to me, you know?
Yeah.
To the point where I'd start looking at them, well, you, you know, kind of that defensiveness. And, I have a very interesting relationship with humility and pride.
No, that's fair enough.
Like right in the middle. And it's confuses even me.
And that's I think about it, as you brought up a great point, because I think so often, you know, that resentment can be established between siblings.
Sure.
You follow me? Yeah. Where, you know, so often we'll say, you know, as a parent, we'd say, you know, I love you both.
Yeah.
You know, I just love you differently.
Yeah.
And I think so often that difference can come across or can become resentment over time, because I'm viewing you as being better, or you got more attention, you have more of this, or you have more of that, and that's unfair.
Yep.
And my ability to see, no, I just have some different, and in all honesty, my different is just as good, unless I see your different as better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm seeing what you have. You have more of this thing. I only got this much of it.
Yeah.
And that's unfair.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, that really gets into my passion topic, topic of the stick, because I wish more and more siblings could understand the stick concept. Like, yes, you got less of a dose of that thing,
yep,
which in turn means you have more of this other thing,
yep,
and they go hand in hand. And if you get more of that, you lose what you have here, which is also incredibly valuable, you know?
Yeah. And that's where I'm at, is in that process. I appreciate the stick analogy, to be able to recognize that the stick, if I may, is wrong if all I'm doing is focusing on one dynamic of it.
That just means your stick is out of balance, right? Yeah. Like you're holding it. Yeah, yeah.
To where I'm focusing on one dynamic, that dynamic that says louder is better, and therefore you're better.
Yep.
Or, you know, whatever you want to fill that blank in with, that we are actually comparing ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's another part. From my perspective, okay, how I see it, I'm going to boil a lot of mental health down to supports and comparison. You follow me? So when I don't have supports or sufficient supports,
healthy support. I guess you can just define supports as being healthy. Let's go with that.
That's my, our clarification.
Yep.
When I don't have those, I'm tending to live in isolation. Okay. Which puts me at risk. And then the other dynamic of that is when I'm comparing myself to other people, then I'm automatically thinking I'm the only one that's messed up. They do that better. They don't have that issue.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
And therefore that comparison, they have more of the thing that I want, whether they do or not, or I'm not able to see all of the other things that, go along with that other side of the stick. I'm just focusing on what they have. And then that's a terrible thing for me.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate that analogy of the stick, because it fits well.
Yeah. And I'll drag that analogy in anywhere I can. But like often when I'm talking with someone with that comparison problem.
Don't drag it. Exactly. Carry it proudly.
Exactly. But balance it. You don't want to either end up too high or too low. But no, I'll often bring it into conversations with someone who struggles with beating themselves up or confidence issues or whatever it is. I'll try and bring that in. Or someone who's like really proud of one aspect of themselves, but maybe beat themselves up about other. I'll bring that in a lot to just try and balance those things out. But all that being said, been thinking about kind of the antidote to pride or false humility.
Yeah. Can I interrupt there for just a moment?
Please do.
That's another thing that sometimes, and it's interesting that when you say it, sometimes when I hear self-confidence, I don't necessarily see that as a positive thing.
Yeah, that's
it's a word we'll use.
Tell me more about your perspective, just because I would like to understand that.
Well, I think, if we're looking or... I think we set ourselves up in a trap to a degree when it's up to me to establish my confidence in me. So when I see self-confidence, it's like what I did, it's the ability that I have to inflate myself. And I think in some cases, from my perspective, I think God confidence is how I would see healthy self-confidence. I know who I am because God says who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not comparing. I'm trying my best to avoid the comparison with other people, recognizing that I have gifts and talents. They may not be the spotlight ones that I typically may want, but yet they have meaning and they have purpose in the whole dynamic of life, because I see them as God given. So it's my opportunity, if you will, to basically take what I've been given in such a way by God and continue to hone that craft, continue to work on those abilities that I've been given versus just trying to muster it on my own based on the current the current desire, you know, to be that person versus just being the best version of myself who God has created me to be. So like you say, that's just a little.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Caveat.
So that's how you see it.
That's how I see it.
I want to share how I see it.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So when I think self-confidence, it goes way back to some root things or some like early memory things.
Sure. Probably both of ours do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sorry, I wasn't trying to say yours.
No. Okay.
But what I think about is two sports things.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. The first is being a batter.
Okay.
I remember playing baseball, little leagues, terrified to bat.
Wow.
Because I knew I was going to mess it up.
Huh.
I was going to strike out. I was going to look stupid.
Okay.
The second one is free throws.
Okay.
Because in that moment, the entire room is looking at you and you have to perform.
Sure.
And for me, growing up, I looked at people who didn't have that fear, and I said, I want that. I want that self-confidence that says, I've hit this many times, I'm going to hit it again.
Wow.
You know, I've knocked down free throws, you know, 90% of the time I get these in. There's no reason, 9 out of 10 times I'm not going to do it.
This
you know?
Is just another one.
It's just another one. Yeah, exactly. And so self-confidence is, and as I've grown older, obviously I recognize it's not always innate talent. It's they may have sat in their backyard shooting free throws 1 million times, and now they have that confidence in their self that they're gonna hit that millionth in one.
Yeah.
And to me, I think bringing God into it is important from a broad perspective, but right in the moment you just go, you know what, I can do this. I've done it a million times. I can do it a million and one. Let's do this.
Sure.
And there's that assurance, right? And same with hitting a baseball, right? They're both, to me, very similar in that perspective. But growing up, it was this enigma, this magic superpower people had to just have that innate confidence that says, I got this. I'm not worried about it.
Sure.
In fact, I'm ready. I'm excited to have this opportunity.
Bring it on.
So, yes, exactly. That bring it on-ness, So for me, that was always a desire to have that, and very difficult for me to have. In fact, I would say I can't remember having that feeling except in academics.
Wow.
Growing up. It wasn't until I started maybe 20s-ish where I started to... Actually, what's funny is I played basketball in high school, mediocre at best, just not very good. I mean, I felt like I was good, but it just never showed up in this, you know, in the scores, right? Soon as I graduated, the pressure was off. We played pickup ball my whole, you know, we'd play every week in high school. As soon as I graduated, I was amazing.
Wow.
Like I might be misremembering, but
as far as you were concerned, or heard it from other people?
I would say objectively, I did really well.
Okay.
As far as feeling amazing, I think the contrast for me was probably what made me feel like I was amazing.
Okay.
But like I could hit just about any shot I wanted to.
Sure.
And just all kinds of things. And it was because I now had self-confidence that wasn't undermined by the pressure of having to be all that.
Sure.
And I just remember that moment. I'm like, I am good at this stupid sport. And of course, it's too late now, you know, because I can't win the state championship.
Why couldn't I be like this?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
And so it was, I would say that started some of the recognition that maybe I had some of the stuff I didn't think I had as it just started to come out when there wasn't as much pressure. So that's always been a thing, a back and forth thing for me. Doing music in the very beginning was terrifying for the same reasons as being at bat or at the free throw line. Everyone's looking at you, you know, if
but
you're
singing.
But
that's what you wanted.
No.
Oh, not that.
Oh, no, no, no. So let me clarify. What I wanted is to have that confidence and then everyone looking at me.
Okay.
Because I was going to perform and do well.
You wanted
that's
the spotlight
what I wanted.
When you could perform well.
I wanted both. I wanted to be able to perform well in the spotlight.
Sure.
I wanted the spotlight. I wanted to be able to perform well. But I didn't believe I could perform well. So I avoided the spotlight if I could, if I didn't feel that confidence, which is often. So music for me was a huge stretch. And the reason I even went that route is because I love music so much and I just desperately wanted it. It was a desire of my heart, prayed a lot about it, all kinds of stuff. And so the first few times I played and or especially sing, I was terrified. And I would say I messed up playing and or singing. What's nice is I kind of really honed a lot of my chops at Celebrate Recovery. So in the early days, it was just Megan and I a lot of times. In a room of like, you know, 14 people or whatever.
Well, it's funny you say that because I can remember when you first started singing at Generations on stage. And I can remember how your voice would crack, you know.
And every single time that pressure would creep in my head and it would cause me to mess up. Like the free throws, just like. And that's the thing. I was never good at free throws. I was never good at batting. Same thing. And it's been a long time coming, like a lot of work. Basically, the free throws in the backyard to get to the point where I'm not worried now when I get up there to sing and play. I'm not worried.
Sure.
I might mess up, but it doesn't even matter at this point. Where before, it's been such a transition from it really matters if I mess up. I can't mess up. And then I do to I've messed up before. It's not the worst, but I really hope I don't. And then maybe I do, maybe I don't. But it's like not the end of the world. And kind of that vacillation over time to the point where now it's like, I might mess up, probably won't. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because even if I mess up, people are okay with it. And we just move on and, you know, no one's going to remember that later. And
sometimes,
you know, the people mess up and I forget about, you know, it's like, but that comes from reps. And that's self-confidence thing that I now have in that area that I'm so thankful for.
Yeah.
That's just one example. But yeah, so long story short, self-confidence has always been a desperate desire of mine. So that's kind of how I see it, right? That's the perspective I come at it from, is like, that's a laudable thing. Of course, I see where in some cases it also leaked into arrogance, right? Where it's like, well, they hit their free throws, but man, I don't want to be around them most of the time. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But for me, it was, I would take that trade-off if I could.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, like in those formative years, I'd rather be a jerk and hit every pitch.
I gotcha.
But that wasn't an option.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Did you even like playing in the field?
No. Same thing.
Okay.
Same thing.
Okay.
If the balls hit you, every eye in the whole place is on you, and I would drop them.
Wow.
I hated baseball.
I guess so.
And I played it a couple years thinking, well, I'll get better, and then it'll be fun. And I never got better, and it was never fun. And then softball, we played that a little bit in high school. And then, you know, I've been in a couple church leagues, and I get triggered.
Wow.
So it's like, I know I can catch a ball. I know I can hit. It's not a big deal. But I just feel all that fear, that like trigger. I'm just like, no, softball's not for me. I don't play softball.
Wow.
And it just comes down to that.
Yeah.
And the minute I whiff a, you know, pitch in softball, it's like all of those feelings come. I just like, no, I don't.
Wow.
So I like team sports where it's like you have to act fast. You don't have time to think. And you know what
like
I mean?
Frisbee.
Like frisbee. Exactly. It's not like you're being teed up. And all eyes are on you. Are you going to catch it? Or I mean, even in frisbee throw it, whatever. It's in the moment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
But
it's
it moves
much
on.
Different
it's
than
like
a baseball.
Even if you drop it, even if you don't make it, it's like it's already going in the other direction and nobody's, we're typically saying something, but it's not like, that's no announcer.
But also my confidence is a lot better now, so I don't even know if some of that stuff would match.
Sure.
And since it's since these sports are different, I don't think they necessarily get triggered into the some of those things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's funny to
Thanks for letting me share all this.
Yeah, well, it's funny to think about you playing frisbee, you and Megan, if I may, and now Joseph is of age. Mm-hmm. Looking back at you, thinking about how performance.
Yeah.
Anxiety comes into play.
Yeah.
And are we magnifying that or are we reducing it? You know, that performance anxiety type thing.
Yeah.
So just
Which,
interesting.
I'm glad you bring that up because it's, I've talked about this in the past many times, how I tend to be corrective with my kids or like, because I'm like, it's the same thing with my dad. It's like, he wanted me to be better. I want them to be better.
Sure.
You know, like for his own sake. Like, I love Joseph, and so I wanted to be the best darn Frisbee player there.
Yeah.
And so I'll be like, hey, when that happens, and it's just really hard to stop that. And then in order to, like, I try really, really hard to compliment him a lot and like just talk, build him up.
Because the funny like, part of it is last night, even, you know, that was, I don't know whether you heard the banter from the other end of the field. We could see you doing that with Joseph and, you know, that song, "This Is How We Do It," you know, was kind of going through my mind, you know, because that's what you were describing. It was fun. It was fun to watch. Yeah. And like you say, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
But yeah, we recognized.
Example is like, he got an amazing throw from someone, and it was basically going out of bounds.
Yeah.
And so he ran out of bounds to get it. If he would have waited, it probably was going to float in bounds. He could have stayed in. And so that was my comment. Like, hey, you know, sometimes you can wait for it. Whatever. If it's going way out of bounds, it's fun to go catch it. But you could also just see if it's going to come back. You know, that was kind of the conversation. And I would say the next five throws, he kind of started to learn the toe drag and different things like that. Yeah. It was really fun to watch.
No doubt.
And I was very proud of him. I told him many times. But that's an example of like, could I just let it slide and just say, hey, you caught that. That was cool or whatever, you know. And
but would he have learned the other part if you hadn't addressed it? Yeah.
Probably, maybe. I don't know. He's a smart kid. But that's the thing I'm always battling, right, is like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as like that confidence and those things, I'm always thinking, looking at his face, and if I see him have that like disappointed look or whatever, I'm like, crap, I messed up. You know what I mean? Because that it happens, you know?
Sure.
And then I try and balance it out. But you know, I don't know how I'm doing, and I don't know how he's going to end up, but I'm sure I am trying, you know?
No.
But it's fun. It's really fun to have him out there and just to see him perform well. Like he's good, right?
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah. He's good, right?
I mean, I'm his dad, so I think he's amazing.
He's good. He's good. Yeah. No doubt about it. Yeah. He has some great catches.
He did. Yeah.
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 Anyway.
It's a fun time. Yeah. But no.
So I'm very proud of him.
Yes. Rightfully
so. What did we decide? Can we be proud of our children? That's the question mark. What's your take after all this?
I think we have the ability to look at our children and be able to recognize they have God-given talents and abilities. And when they're exhibiting those, I don't think there's any issue in acknowledging that, to be able to say, nice job. And I want to recognize at that point, you know, it's not so much that they make me proud, you follow me, that I'm proud of you, as much as it is they feel that on their own for doing and excelling in ways that only they can. That's kind of how I look at it. I apologize. It probably sounds a little bit nebulous.
You skirted the question.
Yeah. I did.
Well done.
And because I think there's more to it.
Yeah.
At times, and being able to communicate that it's not about me being proud of you. It's about your ability to say, yeah, I have some talents and it's my job to use them well, even if nobody's watching.
Yeah. Yeah.
That audience of one type dynamic.
I got a specific scenario that I'm trying to pin you down. So I'm going to try and pin you down.
You go right ahead.
Let's say, you know, one of
I never wrestled. I never liked wrestling. So maybe it's not, you know, something.
Well, you know, we're doing this.
So. Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
You know, one of your kids is struggling with the thing. I'm trying to think. I'm not going to come up with an example. Okay. You can fill in the blanks. And, you know, you've watched him flounder a couple times. And so you say, I have some pointers for you. Here are some things you could try, you know. And you suggest those things. And they go out and they knock it out of the park. They kill it. Like, your advice was exactly what they needed. How do you handle that feeling that goes, yes? What is that to you? Is that pride? Is that, do you not have that? Like, help me understand Mark's picture of that. Because to me, that's that pride of like, yes, we did this together. You know, I did my part as a father. You did your part as a kid. Like, look at this output. It's amazing. It just feels great.
Yeah. You know? I'm thinking about it. And I think our scenario is going to be different.
Oh, here you go. He's sliding out again. I cannot pin this guy. I guess I'm not good at wrestling either, Mark.
I'm squirmy.
He is squirmy.
But I'm thinking about it in that context of them learning it. Okay. are they going to learn it with or without me type dynamic? You follow me? And I think sometimes as a parent, it can be more important that I feel the way I do than my child feels the way they do. That's the part that I would wrestle with.
I
feel good about what I taught you.
Yeah.
And that's because
danger is
because
what you're
that changed everything.
Yeah.
You follow me? Yeah. And I guess my perspective is I see this even with my clients, you know, I'll have a kid, you know, that comes into my office and, you know, and I'll talk with them. And yet there's always that part in the back of my mind that says, okay, this is a stage. This is a life cycle stage. Now, when we get on the other side of that stage, will I get accolades? Will I get compliments for what I did in my office? Quite possibly. But at the same time, when I hear that from that parent, it's not so much what I did. I just worked with a child through a stage and they got to the other side of that stage and they did exactly what they were designed to do, you know, based on that developmental curve, you know, that's age appropriate. And, you know, that's how I'm going to see it to the point that I'm
like, if you just take Mark out of the equation, Mark and Lizzie would be just as amazing. Those clients of yours, they would have just gone through their stage and been healthy. Just take Mark out, God, because he's useless down here. He's got nothing to offer here.
I have things to offer, okay? And I'm willing to use them. But, yeah, I guess I'm just mindful of my role.
It's impressive, your skill set there.
Well, it's...
sneaking out of credit.
First time I wrestled was Ryan Schrader. He picked me up, threw me down on the mat, and dislocated my shoulder. Oof. So, you know, it's when
I've been good at getting out of those sticky situations ever since.
Yeah. I've always been, you know, wiry and scrawny, you know, so it's like, yeah.
So you've never had that scenario I just described.
This is another dynamic. Okay. And this is part of how I see it. I loved, you know, coaching John's soccer.
Okay.
Early on.
Great example.
Okay. And I will say that I got to a point where I needed to step away.
Sure.
Because I didn't know everything I wanted John to know regarding his ability to play soccer. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to say that probably some of my, in John's soccer career, probably some of my most proud moments, if I may, regarding him were watching him play high school ball. He could just drive a ball. I mean, I can still, you know, to where they would have him take goal kicks because he just could drive it that hard. He could, I'm going to recognize.
I played soccer with him one time, like a couple months ago, and I can attest.
Yeah. I got to the point where it's not fun playing with John anymore. I don't want to try and stop it.
Oh, yeah.
You follow me? Yeah. As a father, it's like it hurts too much to get in the way.
Yeah.
But I'll also recognize that that wasn't as much about my ability as his coach, as like you said, it's the net in the backyard that's still there to this day that took those 10,000 shots from, and it's even the backyard light that's still kind of hanging off the house, you know, where it got hit by a soccer ball coming the other direction. And it's the window that broke, you know, because the ball was getting kicked back towards the house. All of that really played into that ability that he had, a God-given ability, more so than anything that I gave him from my perspective.
Yes.
That's
agree.
And that's how I see it.
I'm just saying, you take Mark out of the equation and you replace it with a father who's doesn't appreciate broken windows or, you know what I mean? Like,
okay, yeah,
and I hear you says, there. No, we're not doing that in the backyard. You find a park to go do that in, right?
Yeah. Well, we did the park and the backyard, you know, that kind of thing. But I can't pin him.
He's too good at this. I give up.
I'm hearing where you're coming from, that my role mattered as John's father.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering if you ever acknowledged that in the moment of like that, you know what I mean? Like a moment of, I'm glad I contributed that way. I see how it impacted him that way. Hmm. And I'm thankful for that.
I see it as a stick.
Hmm.
Okay. Because I'll recognize, okay, as
you can't use the stick against me.
Why not? This is the other part. I'll recognize that probably John, and here again, Lizzie has her talents. She's just smarter than I am. And you know, that's because of her mother. Mm. I'll say that right on here. But I would dare say John has some of the talents he has, or his desire to work with his hands. I would see that as something that I probably instilled in him. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I'm going to see that as a stick in the context that I gave him that. He probably learned that from, I modeled that for him. And yet I'm also going to recognize that, shucks, I didn't model the academics as well as I could, to where there may come a day.
That's why he's such a dummy. No. I hope he listens to this and he tells me about it. He's not. John is super smart. I'm just going to go on the record.
And I recognize that based on his mom's DNA and some contributions I've made. But being able to recognize, I see it as a stick, because sometimes I'm willing to recognize, shucks, maybe I wish he would have got his, you know, and he's in the military and he's getting an education. That I'm not concerned.
Yeah.
But I see it in that stick dynamic that mm-hmm. says, shucks, maybe I implemented a little too much of that and not enough of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's going to be, by God's grace, he's going to be just fine with or without my influence this point. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So stick thing, I'm going to mm-hmm. take the stick back. And say part of the encouragement with the stick is to accept and acknowledge the good parts in balance to the bad, because that's part of what makes it a healthy balance of holding that stick. Say that bad comes with the good. The good is the part that balances it out, so it's not always dragging on the ground in the bad. Yep. And the bad is what balances out and makes sure, you know, the good isn't dragging on the ground in the sense of pride and all those things, or, you know. So I do think there is an important part of the stick, which is acknowledgement of the good.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. An awareness of the things that I might not see as beneficial.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, I have other gifts mm-hmm. that
you can't even
can be honed. I mean, can be
beneficial.
Well, no, that can be developed even further than what I might think is mm-hmm. good right now.
Yeah. Well, the thing about the stick is both can be developed.
Sure.
If you're aware and you see the stick, you go, oh, yeah, I'm really good at this. I'm going to keep working on that.
Creating greater balance.
Yep. And then the bad, you can say, I'm going to work on not doing the bad. And that would be my encouragement with the stick. But we're not talking about the stick.
Nope.
I think this is, I was going to say this like 42 minutes ago, I think. the antidote.
Oh yeah,
to humility, or to the pride humility conversation is gratitude. I believe that is the thing that can dissolve the false humility or the pride, like both ends of that continuum. And I think gratitude is a great antidote.
Sure.
What are your thoughts?
No, I'd agree with that, and I think that's the ability when we're able to step back from what we did as parents, or I did as an individual, and say, wow, God, mm-hmm. you did far more than I could ask or imagine. Mm-hmm. Even with me, you know, I think that's where gratitude mm-hmm. comes into play. And I'm just grateful for the abilities that I have. And I'm not concerned about comparing myself to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even it can help you in responses to flattery or whatever.
Oh, sure.
Right? And so I think, because when you think pride, you think, what's the antidote? Humility. I have to be humble. Mm-hmm. The problem is, you've heard this, and probably everyone's heard this, if you're trying to be humble, then you're not, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not how
humility works. If you think you have humility, you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And like, trying to be humble is kind of a false effort.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, like if you're doing that false humility thing and always whatever, mm-hmm. the antidote isn't take more pride I think the antidote to both is gratitude.
Sure.
I really think that's true, and it can allow you to accept compliments better. It can mm-hmm. allow you to handle those moments where you'd be super prideful better. You know, I think it can help in both of those things.
Yep. No, appreciate you sharing, Justin.
Yeah, you too. That was
good,
fun.
A good little bit of insight into new Justin, older Justin, early Justin. Yeah.
A little bit of Mark, too.
There
you know he likes to wrestle.
There you go.
And he doesn't like compliments. So there you have it.
That's how I see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.